There are smaller ones, some placed there intentionally rather than having been allowed to be growing. There is more to this area than your historians will tell you, although you can get this information. The Native Americans called this place the Four Corners. Now, if someone says Four Corners, you immediately think of Arizona, Utah, etc. No, this was the Four Corners where the human came. You see, human and man and people are terms that were finally afforded to those beings who walked here first, the ancient ones. And there is much historical data. Most in this room, including my secretary, have not seen them. But you can go up some of these canyons in almost any direction, and you will find the story of the people. And this was a going across place. This was a meeting place here. Land Tehachapi means land of radiance, valley of radiance. Plenty acorns, which could provide food. Plenty wind for cleansing and good water. And you can look these things up. So this crystal came along with those ancient beings. And in this area, and I will not give more information than that, are also the ancient artifacts of the civilization that began here. And they are priceless. And amongst them, you're going to find things like the crystal skulls. There are still two or three of those outstanding, missing. They're going to be found there with the other artifacts. The ancients, the Indians, know about this. They know about what they call Kontanchala, and that means grandfather or great spirit, creator spirit. These are the things left for them, because they are going to have to basically begin to foundation a new society based on something more worthy than what you have.
When Doris Ecker should pass away someday, years to come, will she continue to receive from you after death?
Are you ready for this one? Since she has,
I want John back here for this one, though. He's getting a battery. Is that? Can we hold, put a hold on that one for just a second?
I think we better do it while he's gone. I think you'll have to weed it out of your discussion.
Okay.
Some of you think, I'll just pass on. It has been amazing how many of the enemy have literally tried to wipe her out. We have had ones come and plant microchips in the house. We have had people shooting out windows, laser beaming out windows. We have had her on our side dead at least 5 to 7 times. Two of them were just little trips over and a refusal on her part to go back. I am not going back down there anymore, she will say. At first we, sweetheart, you know, we really do need you, but we won't make you go. And then this time I am not going back there. It's an inhospitable place. It is a rotten place to be. I don't like it there. I'm not going. So finally we say, fine, you're not finished with your work, but that's okay. You know, I'm a good Jewish father and mother. I can make you feel guilty. Just do whatever. But we're 10 years into this now, and if you are willing to give it up that easily, well, that's fine. Well, look, they gave me congestive heart failure. I have to die. I can't breathe. I'm sick. TUF, child. Are you through with both your whining and your reasoning? So I try to tell everyone around here, when you have really a part of this mission, you can cut out on Saturday if you want to, but I can promise you, you will be back by Tuesday. It isn't easy to kill my people. It's sometimes a nice day or so rest. And if that sounds really far out, I want to put it in perspective. What is death? Oh, my. That one always is the biggie. What is death? You're one breath away from death all the time. If you choose not to take that next breath, you're going to, quote, die. Now, if they can get you on a ventilator fast enough, your body won't die, will it? So you're hung up there in limbo until you decide to override the machinery, if the body's bad enough, or you make all of these decisions. Oh, my goodness, you thought life was bad, bad, bad here for all the choices you have to make. Wait till you make that one. Wait till you get the treatment. Oh, you're over here now. What did you expect over here? Why, milk and honey, of course. And all my problems would be over. Were they over there? Well, no, that's why I'm over here. Oh, and you think it's different? You think that suddenly you have ceased the body to function, released a spirit that is going to wait around for a while. And how long it waits around is a condition of the body. If the body is in such a bad, bad condition that it cannot be resumed in functioning in a positive manner, then you are going to make the decision not to return to the body. But this is why people can remain in comas for any length of time until they decide which way they're going to go. And very often, those comatose people, providing their brain matter has not been blown away, because you cannot repair it. God could repair it, but why? The decision was already made. This is what you're talking about, near-death experience. No, you're moving into a near-life experience. You are moving into a life experience. And a lot of decisions have to be made, whether or not to re-enter that body and continue to function, or to move on. And surprisingly enough to all of you, there is another job level waiting for you on that very near other side. And depending on your level of growth and understanding and knowing, you will maybe get stuck right there, landlocked in that first astral plane. And I'll tell you how serious your world is. Most of the souls in that astral plane have been evacuated elsewhere, because that soul energy that is functioning in that very next landlocked level are very vulnerable. And you blow up those souls, that essence, that matter, particulate, whatever you want to call it, vapor. You scatter that with a nuclear device, you have damaged and scattered the DNA structure of each entity to the point that sometimes it is a zillion years before it can reform itself into its soul energy. So when a planet gets to the point of volatility that yours has, those near souls are evacuated. Now, there are some who will refuse to go. They are truly what we call astrally landlocked, and they remain.
Last question for you.
Yes.
If I can have John. This is the most difficult question for me to ask you, and I was saving it for last. Last year, and it'll probably make you the angriest too, last year when Extra ran that story on you and on Heaven's Gate, making the link between the two, I'd like to know how you feel about Heaven's Gate, what you think about that group.
That is absolutely incredibly nuts as you can get. Are there spacecraft? Yes. Would they ever, in any sense of the word, butt in to man's journey? No. I'm going to repeat, you are a free will society. Each individual is given a gift or a curse, whichever you want to call it, of free will choices. And when you have some man sets himself up as the leader and says, we are going now to the top of this mountain and wait to be picked up, or down in this valley and wait to be picked up, you err. And Heaven's Gate broke every one of the rules of God.
Did you ever speak to the leader of Heaven's Gate? Did you ever talk to anyone with Heaven's Gate to warn them, or to before they killed themselves? Did you talk to any of them?
No.
Did you know any spirits or any other entities who were dealing with them?
No.
Okay.
They had a leader. They made their decision what to do. There was a craft that was following that comet. The comet was a farce. The comet was a light show, but there was a craft following that, and they immediately assumed, I guess, that that was something that was going to pick them up. So we're going to go right back to the laws of God. And this is what I told Mr. Shulman of Extra. They broke every law of God. We keep every law of God. They used other people and damaged them property-wise and intelligence-wise. In other words, they stole from everyone else, and that's against the laws of God. To take your own life or the life of another is against the laws of God. They broke every one of the laws of God. Do not ever make the error of lumping us or me into that category, ever. And when anyone comes forth and says they do this out of spiritual truth, they lie. They lie. They lie because you do not even have the right to devalue the landlord's property by such an act. And that was the most damaging one statement. And our enemies knew it would be that way. Ones who had left this very place are the ones who set it up with Extra. Extra is still waiting for the lawsuit. We don't want to sue Extra. They had a sensational story, and they went out to tell it. And they made it as sensational as possible. They did make some very bad blunders. They did not ask first. And you know what? We would have given them permission, and I would have still met with them. And let them figure it out, just like you're going to have to figure it out. But I'll tell you something. Mr. Shulman walked out of here, and he said, and he could be heard saying this, he said, "You always, I guess, walk into something like this skeptical. But man, this is a wipeout. So you're going to have to decide." And yet, you see, what difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference to me and to these people what you think, Rebecca, and what you think, John. Doesn't even matter what you tell. But you see, I know. You cannot just discard it. And especially if you know this lady, you can't discard it. She's but a person, just like you, with intelligence. I don't choose people who are not intelligent. And you chose to do this. Nobody brought you dragging and kicking. So it will be your choice.
Thank you. Do you have anything? Thank you for your time.
You will be welcome anytime. If you want to get on the call list, some people ask to be notified if there's going to be a meeting.
I guess that does leave me with one more question, but we don't have to have it on camera. Or actually, yeah, let's keep rolling. Everybody in this room, what are all of your associations here? Are you part of the corporation, part of the newspaper? I'm really struggling within myself as to what to... It's very hard to come up with any kind of label or name. If I say the contact newspaper staff, can I say that? Can I say a gathering of people who are friends, as you said when I first sat down, friends, family, and community members?
All of the ones that were here when you first got here are have businesses here.
Okay, so everybody in this room has a business here.
Had the opportunity to be able to take a little while, close their door, and come over. And just because you are here, or if you said, "Well, give me a call if you're going to have a meeting, please," doesn't make you a cult member. Doesn't make you anything. It makes you somebody who might be interested in hearing a little bit more, experiencing a little bit more, but nobody's going to drag you in here, tie you to the chair.
Right, so I could say people who participate at a gathering. I'm just trying to come up with...
I don't know what word to use. Every word that I have ever come up with has been misused, so I don't know what to say either.
That's where I'm really...
Mary may hear that they're, "Oh, well, they're going to have a little business meeting, and we understand that Commander's going to talk to Channel 17. Why don't you come on over?" Mary might call Ellen to tell her that, because we're friends. We're friends. For instance, I would like to be able to call Jason Brent and say, "Jason, come on over here. He might learn something." I doubt it, but he might.
Well, how about a tag as offensive as friends and associates?
That is offensive?
No, I'm saying that sarcastically. I mean, it's truly all of these people here are friends and or associates of one degree or another.
And we are going to have a business meeting here when we're through with this.
May I say friends and associates?
You may say anything you like.
Okay.
There were quite a few friends and associates showed up.
Okay.
What do you call...
You notice we didn't bop them on the head if they were late or anything.
What do you call a group that's not a group? The non-group group.
That's where I'm struggling here. And does everybody here have a role in the Phoenix Institute of some sort?
No.
Okay.
The Phoenix Institute is an institute that will deal with some venture capital, corporate structures, and projects.
Okay.
There isn't. Now, do they have a little bit to do with the Phoenix Project? Contact? A light in every mind, the Phoenix Project? Yeah, just as you do. Whether you address it or not, you do. Because the Phoenix Project is bigger than the Phoenix Project of clandestine secret services in Vietnam, which Melee, whatever you want to call the atrocities, came under the Phoenix Project. The Phoenix Project is also a Montauk mind control project. The Phoenix Project, as we recognize it, is this time in historical evolution, if you will, where the Phoenix bird, or that which has basically disintegrated into the ashes of a society or a thing, begins to rebirth itself. Up from the ashes comes the phoenix, which is the symbol of the highest bird, if you will, of the bird tribes of God, the universal man of God. And the symbol of the phoenix birthing itself from its own ashes is the point. So everybody who walks the planet Earth, which, by the way, has a name of Shan, S-H-A-N, and there is only one little nation on your globe that had sense enough to name itself Shan. And it's over in Asia, and it is headed by one opium dealer called Khun Sa. And that's just to let you know how smart I am. So the Project Phoenix, as we use it, is relating to this time in historical evolution as related to God and man.
If I can now direct this to everybody in the room, but just by a show of hands, how many of you would consider yourselves participating in the Phoenix Project or believing in the Phoenix Project? If everyone could just raise their hands.
Just raise your hand.
They better raise their hand. It's a real cop-out if you're not willing to help your fellow man through a series of very difficult times.
Thank you very much. John, do you have anything else?
Yeah.
No, do you have anything else you want to ask?
No.
Okay.
You may come again.
Thank you very much.
And we won't be so hard, we won't be so deep, or so high, or whatever.
It's very interesting.
Or flippant. And good luck sorting it out. I want to see your 3.5 minutes. I appreciate making it as confusing as possible, but as realistic as possible. If we had just come here and had a little tete-a-tete, or up to the house, it just isn't the same. So I appreciate your being willing to come on such short notice. We do have some things that need to be talked about because they're of great concern. Nugaya was turned into the state FDA, and there have been now at least 3 visits by very high level FDA agents. One brought his senior agent from Fresno. They don't find anything here, but they look. And they look, and they look, and they want to go through this, and they want to go through that. And yet they end up knowing they're not getting anything. So they pick a few little tiny non-things that if you fix this and fix that, then you can go ahead doing this. But on the other hand, there are all these other things, and labels are wrong and all of this stuff. And, of course, you have to meet the laws of wherever you are. Well, now, what seems to be the problem with all of this? Well, you've been turned in, once again, by your enemies. All you have to do is read the letter that Mr. Jason Brandt sent to Mr. George Green on how to destroy the Phoenix Institute and the Akers. So it's just more of the same. And will it ever end? No. Why should it ever end? And sometimes I fear you'll get very careless if it ever ends. You would already have facilities if you had not had these assaults against you. And therefore, anything in an interim period of time becomes a temporary period of time, regardless of how long it takes. And you are not even misleading anyone to say that we do a few things here. We order and relabel things, and it's much handier to do it here than, and the people here can do it rather than ship it all the way and have it done in Nevada. Now, we can do that. And I understand that Jack Tulanian has very willingly offered to go over there and set this up for us. But if this happens, if we have to move all of this out of this town, that takes all the jobs with it. And it not only takes the jobs with it, it cuts down the income that goes to paying for the paper staff. So it basically would bring things to a screeching halt here pretty quickly. There are other things that can be done, and I recommend that we be looking into them. They're not going to come. They can't find anything. There is nothing just to shut you down. There is nothing. They can find a loose tile here, and they can find something wrong there, but they can't just shut you down without a warning, without something. And this man would like very much, because he likes the people here, and he would like very much if you just moved all the operation to Nevada and then he didn't have to do anything else ever again. What he's going to do is you can count on him coming and having spot inspections every time he's in the area. And sometimes when he's not in the area. Now, what are some alternatives? One of my suggestions is to vacate this area, paper and everything. It's a very, very expensive set of buildings to have now. And as other things dwindle in, it is more expensive. On the other hand, you need a place that would be food approved. A good quality new restaurant like Sizzler would be excellent. I've asked that people look into it. Unfortunately, it's in escrow. And it will be until September when they have to put up earnest money. Well, you don't have enough money to buy it anyway. But maybe if we could focus on our job instead of on all this stuff, we could have enough by then to build or use that or whatever. I don't think that all of you want to move to Las Vegas. I don't think that most of you could do that. And why would you do that? Your corporation is there. The businesses are there. Everything is shipped out of there. Why would you not utilize the laws that protect you? And this is and was a very good opportunity to test those rules and regulations. And these men knew they were barfing up a tree. And I said, F, not K. The one that they're picking on is, of course, Nugaya. Well, they find that Nugaya is only a little distributor. I'm telling you, you are going to have to use your tools and know what you are doing. Because once again, by doing it right, even if you're just fumbling your way through, and I will give Diane a great compliment, because I shuddered to think of any of the rest of you in that position with two agents being nasty down your neck. And to have to think and not give them the wrong answer. And I didn't say not give them the truth. Give them the wrong answer. The right answer is all you have to give them. Or no answer at all. Ones will say, well, but what would I do if they ask me? Why would they ask you? This is the FDA trying to do something with Nugaya. Do you work for Nugaya? Now we really have a problem with some, don't we? But do you?
I don't even.
Right. That's the answer.
And that threw him for a loop, and he says, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I don't work for Nugaya. Because he wanted to know who wrote my paycheck. So I gave him a name of a corporation that I may or may not work for, and he said, could I have that address? Then it was the same address as the last five I'd given him for the FBO box, and he just shook his head.
So when he got down to number 25, he got the point. And they know. They know the rules and regulations. And the rules in California say you must do this. But they don't say that in Nevada. So they know what has happened. They have been broadsided. And as mad as they can get at having run into something that is so well done and so little, It is so little. They came thinking this was one of the biggest operations on the face of the globe to find it's what? It's nothing. Well, who turned us in? I don't know. Lie through their teeth. Well, we got notified by the federal FDA. Oh, no shit. We know who, we know what, and we have worked against this day in checking for 8 years. Don't blow yourselves out. And we need a few more weeks. We need to see what we can do with the funding. My goodness, we're close in two different directions. Can it get done in time? In time for what? If it doesn't, you stay another week here. If it does, you go buy the Sizzler. Or you go rent the Summit. Or you do something else in the interim. But they will come and they will annoy, and it's on his list, and he'll have to do it, whether he likes it or not. He gathered up the very products I would have hoped he would gather up, and that's the colloids, because they have been checked and they will check out better than anything they can match them with on the market. So that was good. And they didn't even ask about our other little things that just seemed to have gone invisible. So let's not borrow trouble. They focused in on the spelt and the bread. And they couldn't even find anything wrong with the labels on those. They did think that some of that dust from the ceiling where the tile leaked during the rainstorm, well, it needed replacing or plastic applied or something.
The panel is completely missing and irrigation, what's that called? Insulation is hanging out like over there.
Well, it really needs attention anyway, doesn't it?
Source, and he was a little offended by that.
Well, I'm offended by that.
There's no reason it should have been hanging out, and he was not nitpicking. I mean, I think he had to say something because he was here. Now, the only thing that I see that we have an issue with is the fact that he gave us some things that we had to turn around, even to just go ahead and process them, to do what they call manufacturing. If I order product from Wally and he mails it to me or ships it or I go pick it up in a sealed bottle, it's got the safety seal but no label, I bring that to my office and I apply a press apply label, I am a manufacturer. So one of his requirements for his fix-it list, which only consisted of three things, bar the labels. He hasn't got the labels yet. Every label is illegal, apparently. But the one thing that he said, number one on his list that I have to comply with by August 1st, all of these have to be fixed by August 1st, is to at least apply with the state of California for a manufacturing permit. And I'm afraid if I have to do that, then that opens me up to the can of worms of doing business within the state of California, yada, yada, yada. And I do, I mean, he definitely, like you said, he will be back. And he will be back at every opportunity that he can. And he will have to come back because of the labeling issues. So even once we get the August 1st thing moved, or taken care of, he's going to be back when he has the fix-it notes for the labels. And then he will be back probably every few months to make sure the labels are being processed correctly. And so on and so forth, and I think he will be a monkey on our back forever.
Yes.
So I, as far as I can see it, that it, anything that goes on in this building, short of the newspaper and what New Gaia does in its little strip zone, is probably out of the question as far as I am concerned, because he will be back.
Well, that very definitely needs to be looked at. And
I mean, I can't see why it would make any difference. I mean, it could go across the street in the Health and Hope building or where the church was down the street. Or I don't think that it necessarily, at this point, has to move to Nevada. But it certainly has to get out of this building.
Well, what happens if it gets out of this building, goes down the street, and a month or two later he finds out it's down the street?
You have to be in a place that can be inspected in its whole.
I do not think so. Because then you open up that doing business in the state of California. I mean, if you're a California corporation doing business in the state of California, California, they'll ream you with their taxes. If you are a foreign corporation doing business within the state of California, it's worse. Because they know they're not getting your corporate tax dollars. So they're going to get everything they can from you. And if we're a manufacturing company, and have filed for, unless there's somebody that has a California corporation already who can file for that permit.
What makes the manufacturing? Putting labels on bottles?
Not to mention the bread. Putting a label on a blank bottle qualifies with the Federal Food and Drug Administration as manufacturing.
Can labels be put on blank bottles before we get the bottles?
No, because then you run into sterility problems.
Putting a label on the outside of the bottle creates it sterile inside the bottle?
How did...
You're saying if I label an empty bottle?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, how does the bottle get labeled after the product's
when
put
it's
in
full,
the bottle?
Absolutely. For instance, okay, I order 3-in-1 from Mike out of Utah, right?
The product.
It comes to me, it's already loaded in the capsules, loaded into the bottle, the cotton's placed... The lid's put on and the safety seal's put around it.
Why can't they put labels on for us?
They can. I started having my own labels put on here because Margie and them needed work.
Oh, I see.
So I started bringing more of my work here. It saved me like a nickel a bottle to pay them 10 cents a bottle. But, you know, just trying to generate the revenue around.
Okay.
So, but with the colloids and things like that, the breads, those all had to be labeled anyway. Those are the problems I have, that there's issue with. Those particular products. And I think that's the facility that has to move on. Certainly my other products that I get out of San Francisco and Utah.
Either that or you subcontract labeling to some other company.
With a Nevada address.
With a Nevada address.
Well, it doesn't matter.
And
just one, I'm saying.
And they label it. They label it across. They label it across the street, but you're not in the business anymore.
See, New Gaia can get out of this like that. New Gaia's got some labeling to fix. I made it very clear to him from this wall right here to the very next wall, which is all of 10 feet away,
right,
is all that New Gaia has. He still, as of what was it yesterday, day before? I don't even know what it is. As of yesterday, he thought that I still had part to do with that building next to that. And I think I made it finally clear to him that I do not. There was a lady there making bread and had all that room already. And I said she used to come to my little area where we were meeting right there where we make a tape. Said she used to try to come in here and put on my little labels for me. But as you can see, I have no room and there's stuff piled everywhere. So they were nice enough to let us use some of their storage space over there. Oh, he said. So I think he finally got it, that has really nothing to do with me, that it's not a Nevada corporation that has it. Probably it would, but then we got the bread making and mixing. And also, if you take a 50-pound bag of grain, and you put that into 5 10-pound bags, you are a manufacturer. You have repackaged something in their eyes where there is chance for contamination, all sorts of things can happen, therefore you are a manufacturer. So basically, I mean, that could be done if someone had a California corporation already to where they could even keep this little strip right there and file as a California company already, who's already got all their permits and everything, file for that permit to manufacture, then this whole monster would be done with.
Well, that would take care of that.
Still it would take care of the
still doesn't take care of the taxes and stuff like that.
Well.
No, and you need a better facility.
Well, of course, but as far as he's concerned, as far as the man from the FDA was concerned, when the ceiling panel was replaced, with the stuffing shoved back up in the ceiling, there were some bags of red beans that had broken open at one point. They were in the paper bags, the 50-pound paper bags. They had broken open, and I guess Margie, or I'm not sure who, had put them into these white kind of burlap-type bags that are sitting there wide open. He said, this is a tough one to comply with. He says, roll the bags down.
Roll them down.
Roll the top down and put a rubber band or something on the top so they're not wide open, that this insulation fall in.
Well, makes sense.
He vetoed one product for right now.
Which one?
And that's the
red
lentils. What did he call that, EJ?
Well, they're treated for planting.
No, but what's the word he not vetoed them? What's the word he used?
Embargoed.
Embargoed. And so that of everything, that was it. So as far as he's concerned, when we take care of those lentils, which have to be done in his presence, he said you can destroy them, but I have to watch. You fix the ceiling tiles and you roll down those bags and you apply for the manufacturing permit. He had no problem with how that bread was manufactured. He had no problem with the tabletops. He had no problem with the ladies standing there making the bread mixes. He had no problem with any of that. That may come later if you permit in the state of California. I don't know if then that turns over to somebody else, but well,
it may bring it within his jurisdiction more.
But I think he is it. I think he has the overriding rule, and if he says it's okay, my guess would be that nobody now is going to come in and say, okay, you have to do this, 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 and this. He had no problem with the ceiling tiles over where she was making the bread mix. He said, I'm concerned with the stain. And I said, but I don't think the roof leaks now. I said, I don't think that there was a flat roof in the state of California that didn't leak through El Nino. And he kind of chuckled and said, you're right. So, you know, they're stained, and it's not that they're leaking now. They're stained. Not until it rains again, right?
But if it wants you out, be assured they will find something.
I don't think he does. I don't think he cares. I think he came in and he was not challenged when he came in. I never tried to bluff him off in any way where he felt offended or challenged.
Yeah, he didn't have an axe to grind. He's just doing his job.
That's right.
Yeah, but who's his boss?
He brought one of his bosses from Fresno. And that was a very discomforting feeling to have to expect him to walk into my office. And he had had another investigator from Fresno come in with him. And I felt like I was this big against two giants. And if I could say something for myself, I'd gone to that Anthony Robbins seminar. And you really think you're not going to use it, you don't have any reason to or whatever. And I don't think had I, maybe, but I don't think had I not just been through that training with rapport and how not to lock hands with people, I don't think I would have done as well. I had an inner confidence that behooved me.